Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. And once again, Lord, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you provided. And we ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts. Speak to every part of our being, Lord. Open up heaven for us this morning, Lord. And I just pray that you touch your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20, it says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Those are pretty sad words, aren't they? The sad thing is they're going to ring true in people's hearts, because there's going to come a time when that realization is going to hit. Proverbs 10:5, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." Those two are connected. I'm going to talk a little bit about God's special days, his appointed days, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about where we are in all of that. Now, it seems to me that God likes to do things on his special days. And the Bible tells us what those special days are. There are seven feasts. And I'm going to go over them a little bit. The first one in the spring is Passover. It's the offering of the Passover lamb as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. This was fulfilled by Jesus Christ, wasn't it? He became that Passover lamb. John 1:29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God. 1 Corinthians 5:7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." See, there was an initial fulfilling of Passover, and then there was another one, more significant one, that was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. The second feast is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, they've combined it with Passover, and so it made Passover a week-long celebration. But originally it was just the Feast of Unleavened Bread that came the day after Passover. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Leaven represents sin. Jesus did not sin. In chapter 6 of John, verses 32-35, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." When did the events of chapter 6 happen? If you go back to verse 4 of chapter 6, it says, "And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh." It was just before Passover time, when Passover was on everybody's mind. Jesus talks about being the bread of life, the bread from heaven, the bread of God, and the bread of life. The bread, of course, was eaten at Passover time. Jesus in John chapter 6 told the people to eat my flesh and drink my blood. he was referring to the Passover. He was referring to himself as the Passover lamb and as the bread of life that came down from heaven, the unleavened bread. The next feast day is the Feast of First Fruits. It celebrates that which is first out of the ground. There's actually three times when they celebrate the first fruits, because there's three harvests. There's the barley, which is the first. There's the wheat, which is the second. And there's the grape, which is the third. They come at three different times of the year. There's three growing seasons. 1 Corinthians 15:20. Paul says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He became the first fruits out of the ground. He became that which was first to raise up. Because of it, we know that we will be risen up and we will be with him. So he fulfilled the Feast of First Fruits. The next holiday is Shavuot, or Pentecost. That was when the law was given, but it was also when the Holy Spirit was given in the Acts chapter 2. We read about that. Shavuot was another time when they had to bring an offering. They brought the wheat at this time, the first fruits. The next holiday is Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. The New Year's. It's a celebration of the end of the summer harvest. It's a two-day celebration. This year, I think it starts on the evening of the 6th, and it goes till the evening of the 8th. So it's 2 days, which makes it unusual. And nobody knows when it starts. Nobody knows the hour or the day that trumpet's going to sound. Now, does that sound familiar? See, this hasn't been fulfilled yet, but it will be. It's going to be fulfilled when Jesus Christ comes back. As the lightning flashes from the east to the west, so will the appearing of the Son of Man be. That's how the trumpets sound. They go from east to west. And apparently, there's supposed to be two witnesses that... Once again, that should sound familiar too. There's going to be two witnesses that are going to tell when those trumpets sound. No one knows the hour of the day when the trumpet will sound. A lot of people are really looking very close to 2021 because all the numbers seem to line up. But, you know, God doesn't always listen to other people, does he? Because we should be ready any time. The next feast is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's a day of fasting. It's a day of afflicting of souls in remorse for their sin. There's going to come a time when people are before the judgment throne of Christ that they're going to be doing that. But it's a lot better to do it now first, isn't it? No, wait till then, because every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. The final one is Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the only feast where the people are to rejoice before the Lord. That represents our time together, I believe, during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. It will be fulfilled then. So what should this mean to us? Where are we now in the divine scheme of things? The divine plan? As things unfold, where are we? We're here in Quartzsite and it's summertime, right? I'm going to read something from Jonathan Kahn's book, The Book of Mysteries. and it's entitled The Mystery of Summer. In case you don't know who Jonathan Cahn is, he's a Jewish rabbi, and he wrote a book called The Book of Mysteries, and there's a daily reading in there, the 365 of them, which there happens to be 365 days in the year, so you can read one every day, and I do. We used to do this at devotions. It's about a teacher and a student, mainly. There's other students, and it's at a school. It doesn't say where. You get the feeling it's in the desert, and it's maybe someplace very similar to Quartzsite. The day was hot and marked by the gusts of scorching desert wind. We were sitting on a hill overlooking a field that belonged to one of the agricultural settlements. It was now filled with laborers harvesting the grain. "The age has unfolded," said the teacher. "According to the mystery of the Hebrew calendar, with each prophetic event foreshadowed by a Hebrew holy day. But where in the age are we now?" "Where did we leave off?" I asked. "What was the last of the Hebrew holy days to have been fulfilled?" "Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost." "So then if we want to know where we are in the age, we have to look at what took place in the Hebrew year after Shavuot, Pentecost. At the end of Shavuot, the Hebrews went out from Jerusalem to the fields and vineyards to reap the long summer harvest. They would labor throughout the summer months until the return of the holy days in autumn. They would then finish the harvest and return again to gather together before the Lord in Jerusalem." So if Pentecost, or Shavuot, was the last holy day to be fulfilled, then it is now the summer of the age, the time of the summer harvest, he said. "Just as Shavuot was the time of going forth from Jerusalem out to the fields of harvest, so it was on Shavuot, on Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, that the apostles went forth from Jerusalem to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. The field is the world, the season is the age, and the harvest is salvation. The gathering in of new life. What was it that Messiah said of the present age? He said that now was the time of the harvest, the time to go out and reap. And did you know that in Hebrew the word for harvest, kaitz, also means the summer? And so the mystery of where we are in this present age is hidden in Israel's summer harvest. It means that your primary goal must be to reap eternal life, to spread the word of salvation, to go out into the world and save the lost. Make that your aim. For the days of the harvest are numbered, and the time to reap new life and save the lost comes only once. Therefore, go out and reap all you can in the time you have, until we all appear in Jerusalem at summer's end. It is the summer of the age. Make it your aim this day to reap the harvest all around you. Bring forth salvation and bring in eternal life. Jonathan Cahn put three verses for our reading after this. The first one was our opening scripture, Proverbs 10:5. "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." John 4:35-36. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." As it turns out, between Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets, it's exactly 4 months. "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and that he that reapeth may rejoice together." We're all in this together, aren't we? We're all working towards the same goal. We're all working to that, the saving of that last person. Because guess what happens when that last person that's going to be saved is saved? The Lord's coming back. He's waiting patiently for everybody that's going to be His to be His. Matthew 9:37-38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's us. Laborers in the harvest. Everything we do here is supposed to work towards the harvest. Hopefully people see Jesus in us and it provokes them to jealousy and they want what we have. Hopefully our attitude is one of love. So that's where we are. My message this morning is kind of short because we're going to do something else now. I felt it impressed on me that there was a vacant position here at Isaiah 58 that needed to be filled. Ivan, will you come up here, please? And after praying, it was further impressed on me that this position was to be filled by Ivan. The position is assistant pastor. None of us are qualified, are we, for what the Lord has us to do? And when I mentioned this to Ivan, that's the first thing he commented on. And I said, I believe that's the first requirement. Because we have to recognize that none of us are qualified. Today we're going to ordain our brother Ivan and install him as assistant pastor. I have my little ministry book here. Normally I do this for weddings, sometimes for funerals, but no, we're not getting married. Well, we are, but not to each other. We're getting married to the Lord, right? Throughout history, God has called workers to carry out his will. Righteous Noah was chosen to survive the flood and save his family through building the ark. Abraham, the man of faith, was selected to be the forerunner of God's holy nation, Israel. Moses, the man of God, was called to deliver his people from bondage. Jesus chose the 12 to be his apostles. The early church set apart those called to special work through prayer and the laying on of hands. We come today formally to ordain our brother, Ivan Buchholz. Did I say that right? Close enough, okay. That's your middle name, right? Our brother Ivan to the work for which God has called him. We seek to honor only Christ, and this one is being set apart for just that purpose. Let us invoke God's blessing upon this occasion. Lord, we come to you because you're the one that calls. You're the one that chooses. You're the one that selects, and you're the one that places people where you want them to be. And we don't want it any other way, Lord. We want this always all to be about you. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, and he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? I didn't tell you this, Ivan, but right here is where you're supposed to say, here am I, send me. Those are very powerful words. Here am I. In Hebrew, I've mentioned this many times, it's hineni. Literally, behold me. What else can we say about ourselves? Here we are. It means we're available. It means we're open. It means we're willing. We're submissive totally to our Lord. Ivan, have you prayerfully considered the responsibility of living and preaching the gospel and having you weighed the work involved and the sacrifices you may be called upon to make? Speak louder.
Yes.
Do you want the microphone? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that the Holy Scriptures are the Word of God to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Him?
I do.
Are you motivated, not out of a desire for position or earthly gain, but for the love of God and of your fellow men, and the wish to glorify Him and save them? Okay. Will you strive to build up the church, the body of Christ, to prepare God's people for works of service, to labor for the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God?
Yes.
Will you endeavor to live a life of love within your family and in the community and to draw others to Christ through your example as well as by your word? Brothers and sisters of the congregation, friends and neighbors, are you in agreement? If you are, raise your hand, please. Hallelujah. I thought you guys would act that way. Are you satisfied that he'll be a worthy messenger and representative of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing that he should be ordained to the Christian ministry? I think you got some friends out there. I'm going to ask anybody that feels led to come forward. Shirley, I want you up here beside your husband, please. Anybody that feels led to come up, and we're going to lay hands on him and we're going to pray for him. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence here and for all you do and all you've done today, Lord. Lord, just go with us as we go about our way, Lord. And may everything we do bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.